my favourite tree. Which is your favourite bonsai is a question I'm often asked when I have visitors to my garden. My usual reply of, the one I'm currently working on, is often greeted with dismay or even disbelief. Surely everyone has a favourite in their collection. And it's true that so often when I myself visit friends' bonsai collections, they tell me that they have a favourite bonsai. And more often than not, it's usually one that has a story behind it. Perhaps it's a first tree they owned or styled. Perhaps it's a particular tree with a sentimental association. Perhaps new skills were acquired in the creation. There are so many reasons. And often, the tree is not representative of the skills or quality the artist now possesses. Yet my answer is the only answer I can give. As for me, the most enjoyable aspect of bonsai is the creation and not necessarily the ownership. To drill down, metaphorically, into the specifics, I prefer to work on Northern European species, as I live in the north of the United Kingdom, and they're more likely to thrive in our climate. I'm surrounded by their bigger brothers and sisters, and I can look at them for inspiration and stimulation. Nor am I averse to the challenge with my personal collection, and I have over the years worked with Mediterranean species, including olive, myrtle, and pistachio. Olive in particular make great bonsai, as they're easy to collect, they produce new roots on old wood, and given the right conditions and lots of sunshine, something I don't have in the north of England, they can produce fabulous bonsai in a relatively short time. Of course, for obvious reasons, my Mediterranean species have to overwinter in my glasshouse, and they only come out into the garden when the rain and cold retreat for the summer. It would be probably fair to say that they live, but they do not thrive as they would in their natural habitat. If I was, however, to be asked, what's your favourite tree? I have no doubt in answering the enigmatic and ancient hawthorn tree, a deciduous tree native across Europe and one of Britain's most ancient trees. I love everything about it, from the sinuous and sculptural shapes that it takes, through its various qualities and folklore, to the hypnotic beauty of the bonsai it can become. This wild, beautiful, gnarly and thorny ancient tree is one of our oldest, most sacred and beautiful trees and can grow to a ripe old age. It is also known by many other names, such as Whitethorn, Hagthorn, Quickthorn, Queen of the May, or just May. Hawthorn is also known as the fairy tree, and this is because it is rich in varied folklore associated with it. Some of it positive and healing, and some of it negative and damaging. Mostly growing in strange and hauntingly beautiful shapes, it can be found in the wildest and harshest spots. Hawthorn is probably the most perfect deciduous species for creating bonsai. I call it a four-season tree. In winter, the tree is naked and the gnarly bark is brown-grey, knotted and fissured with slender twigs, covered in thorns, and is on show for all to see. With the coming of spring, the fresh new leaves appear, and with good technique, these can be reduced in size. In late spring, early summer, the blossoms appear. The flowers are highly scented, with five petals growing in flat clusters. They're normally white, although there are rarer pink varieties. Over the summer, once pollinated by insects, the flowers develop into deep red berries known as haws. With the onset of summer, those tiny leaves turn a vibrant orange and yellow. Hawthorns have been the bedrock of my personal collection, and many of my top award-winning trees have been from this genus. There's hardly a time when I'm not working on a hawthorn. And what that means, as you've probably gathered, is that my favourite tree and my favourite bonsai are one and the same. Thank you for listening.